Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 says that, and you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, and then says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Praise the Lord. Now, there is something that he calls the course of this world, and that is a course that this world will always take, and it has always taken. And you are not going to change it, because it is the course of this world. That's how it is. Okay? Now, of course, some people will lie to you that you are going to heal the world. You are not. You are going to heal yourself. Okay? The world is going to be judged forever. It was judged by... Now, when Jesus talks about the world, I have overcome the world. There is something he's talking about which is contrary. People don't see that they are totally contrary. So they try to juggle both balls here and there. So they don't understand why when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and enter into a covenant with him of salvation, suddenly the forces of this world come against you, whether you like it or not. Because now they are, you're right in their face. And now they have to come and fight you because you do not belong to them. And it says according to the course of this world. Now that's the course the world will always take. Okay? And you find people who are deceived that they are going to heal the world. You know, you've heard that. Eh? Make it a better place. It is not going to be better. Amen? It is not going to be better because this is what it says. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. So the world has its owner, and its owner is the devil. This the world, you know. Now for you, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you come out of the world and enter into what he calls the kingdom of God. And now the kingdom of God is a totally different structure with different rules, with different cultures, and with different means of advancing from the world. Now, the reason there is a lot of frustration among believers is that they want to succeed in the world, yet they are believers. Yet God prescribed for us a way in which you will leave the world in its mess, and for you will be totally different. Amen? That's why it calls us ambassadors. Now, when there's an ambassador, let's say in this country, in Uganda, and is the ambassador of, let's say, Japan, there is nothing about Uganda that concerns him apart from his representation here. He's paid. Is he paid according to the Ugandan salary scale? No, he's paid according to the Japanese. Even the laws that guide him are not the same as Uganda. Even the residence, even the embassy, his office is not in Uganda, it is Japan. You see, so if the government of Uganda is looking for you, and you somehow ran into the embassy of Japan, you are no longer in Uganda. They can't touch you, by the way. They can't. Officially, now you are in Japan, even if you are in Ugandan soil, as it is. Now, even the kingdoms of this world acknowledge that system that he's here, but he's a representation of another country. And the laws that apply to him are from another country. And the salary that he applies to is another country. Now, that's the design that God had for his children. To be here, but there are different rules that apply to you on this world. That's why Jesus says you're in this world, but you're not of it. Okay? The rules that govern your life are totally different, and you can thrive when everything around you is not thriving. That's why he says, the peace that passes understanding. You can be peaceful, totally at peace, when everybody is agitated around you. And you're completely at peace if you have understood the laws of the kingdom to which you behave, to which you belong. Amen? Even your security is not the security of this kingdom. Praise the Lord. And you see, you have to have that in mind, that there is a security. As soon as you enter this kingdom, that kingdom gives you its security, called the angels, to watch over you, because you are its ambassador here. You see, there is nothing about you that is governed by here. That's why he says, even when he says in Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory, according to his kingdom, not according to here, not according to the economy in which you are, according to his riches in glory. Now he expects you to expect that, that when God is supplying me, he's not supplying me according to the economy of Uganda, whereby because I'm in Uganda, I expect to be in a certain place, and if I was in another country, I would be in another place. No. So that means even you don't even have to, let me tell you, unless you're saint, there is no point in you even living here, because you can live the best life that there is in the midst of the biggest poverty, and for you, you're rich. Praise the Lord. In the midst of insecurity, and you're not scared of anything, because there are laws that govern that sort of thing, from the kingdom to which you behave. Now, the reason there is a lot of frustration is because people actually want to live with the laws of this world. So they have a lot of the world with a bit of Jesus. And they get frustrated because the world, if you were of the world, they would celebrate you, and you know, but you're not. So you get frustrated and you do not take time to understand the laws of the kingdom to which you now belong. If you did, and you started applying them and just learning them, first of all, learning the basics of it and applying it, nothing here would touch you whatsoever. Because the kingdom to which you belong is far superior to this kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now, you don't suffer the frustrations that other people suffer. That now there is this, now it has to affect you, and this is after the... Amen? Praise the Lord. There is EPS... What was that thing called? EPS. According to the laws of our kingdom, you can see the cameras will what? Will dysfunction when I'm passing. And I will not get a ticket. Anyway, that's it. But my point is, there are different laws, and it is complete. Now, it's completely contrary. And now people don't understand that. If any time you spend learning the true laws of the kingdom to which you belong, saves you a lot of trouble in this world. There are prescribed ways of how to get rich in the kingdom. There are prescribed ways of how to succeed. Everything. Even how to get married. And the world comes and gives you its things. And some people, you find some people who are, and you see even that rubbish has entered the church also, where you find people are giving worldly advice on pulpits, where there is no revelation, there is no scripture, he's not even quoting a scripture. And I've seen it, and those are the people who actually have a lot of views on social media, where they are doing what in Uganda they call kuburirira, not kuburira. They are just basically what you can get from a senga. Now the Bible has prescriptions for marriage, for a proper marriage. You go away from them, you've entered another kingdom. And all the things of that kingdom are going to affect you. For finance, for everything that you want, there is a prescribed way in this kingdom. Now, you're trying to run, let's say, your marriage on the laws of this kingdom. It is going to fail. You're going to be hit. You're going to be hit because the people who actually seem to know the most are the people who succeed the least. Do you know the culture that has written the most books about marriage? The Western culture. Do you know the culture that has the biggest number of divorces? The Western culture. They know a lot, but they know nothing. Knowledge is in results. Now you have a 70% divorce rate. What am I doing reading your rubbish? And it's not even based on the Bible. Now, of course, there is some which is, and where somebody is bringing out scripture and showing you all this, something as important as let's say, success, as prosperity. There is no way, as healing,
There is no way God did not prescribe it for this kingdom. Everything that the human person, I mean the human being will need in this world is prescribed here. Amen? So now, that's why, you know, in Luke 17, so it says the kingdom of God. In Luke 17, they tell him that. So when is the kingdom of God coming? The Pharisees are asking him. And what they expected was for him to tell them what they meant by the kingdom of God is they believe there's going to be a Messiah who is going to come with political power and rescue Israel and take Israel from the Roman rule. So that's why Jesus did not cut it for them, because he came and he did not, and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And then they're saying, where is it? We can't see it. And some people still have that, even those who believe in him. Where is it? He says, but he says that when he asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Then he said, the kingdom of God, nor will they say, see here, see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is inside you. Now, what the Lord wants to do, what his plan is for you in this world, is he gets you and you get into a covenant with him. Then he starts pumping you with his ways of doing things. And then you shine as a light in the darkness, because you there's something else that is inside you. You're here, but everybody is seeing that the laws that apply to you are not the same laws as others. They try to see how do you, and see the world tries to impose itself on you. And then they come and say, you should teach people how to work hard, how to, you know, teach people how to work hard. Of course, but they also don't tell you the people who work the hardest are the poorest people. Amen? Like, you know, sometimes I just do. Have you ever moved early in the morning? I usually do that when I'm going for television and what. And you see people who actually wake up so early and they are up early and they work the hardest, but they are the brokest. But somebody will come and say, teach people how to work hard. No, we are not here to teach you how to work hard. Amen? In your kingdom, the laws are different. In your kingdom, you wake up in the morning and you spend 30 minutes meditating on the word of God. It is equal to somebody working hard for 3 years. Eventually, it will turn out and you will see. Amen? In your kingdom, you can sit and expect that somebody is gathering wealth for you, that God can give it to you. That works in your kingdom. In their kingdom, they say, work hard. Work hard, work hard. And then you spend all. In your kingdom, you are human beings, not human doings. In their kingdom, you're human doings. What do you do? Somebody comes and asks you, what do you do? That's the first question they're asking you. Where do you belong in this kingdom? What do you do? Praise the Lord. Now, of course, I remember the first time I actually had an answer to something like that. There's a time I met a Muzungu, and there was a newspaper I was working for which had folded, so I was jobless. So I met a Muzungu and he asked me, hey, so we're talking football and what, you know, great stuff. I was sounding very intelligent. Then the guy asked me that, where do you work? Then I started stammering. But you know, Bazungu are sharp in these things. Eh? You know what he told me? He said, oh, you're in between jobs. Oh, okay. I said, that's a nice one. Eh? I'm in between jobs. Eh? Because I actually didn't have an answer. I had no job. I was just trying, they are trying to sound intelligent, yet I had no one. And now in that kingdom, you have no job, you have nothing. Praise the Lord. Because that's, everyone is going to ask you, what do you do? And even in, you know, if, what's your profession? What are you doing? But now in our kingdom, if you have a job, that's good. If you don't have, there is more, a lot more than a job. God did not put you here to do, you know? Eh. Praise the Lord. In our kingdom, we can say that I am a meditator. Then they will laugh. Until 1 year later, their job is not giving you as much as your meditation. Praise the Lord. That's why he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I think 3:15, 4:15, he says, meditate on these things that your progress might be evident to all. Okay? 4:15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress might be evident to all. Now, those are, I want you to know that those laws, that kingdom will make fun of you and say that you're wasting time. But you know what you're doing. Praise the Lord. Because you don't, the rules that apply to them don't apply to you. But you're supposed to live here. Now, the purpose is to actually exalt you above those people in that kingdom so that they can look up to you and say there is something special about these people. That was always the purpose of God. That's why he picked one person and a lineage of that person and says, I'll be your God and I will exalt you above others. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll borrow. You'll lend. You'll never borrow. You do what? So that's to give you a picture so that people can see you and see God. And they see that you belong to a different kingdom. And now they did that for a while in the days of Samuel. Until in the days of Samuel, they made a mistake, Israel. Because they went and told Samuel, the prophet, that they want a king. And then they said, we want a king so that we can be like other kingdoms who have kings. Then God said, hey, you want to be like other kingdoms. Then they even said, we want a king who is going to lead us to battle. When Samuel was the one who was judging over them, there was not a single war they had to fight. God made sure of that. Because Samuel's skill set was not fight wars. So God made sure there was peace all through. Until they said, we want a king to lead us to battle. The first thing the king did was to fight. The battle came because that's what they wanted. Now God says, I wanted you to be different. I wanted to set you apart. For you, you wanted to be like other kingdoms. So you'll be now. The whole idea and the thing, the reason people get frustrated in this world, so frustrated, is because they don't start somewhere in pursuing what this kingdom says. What are the laws of this kingdom? First of all, you have to understand what a kingdom is. Now, people, thankfully here, we understand what a kingdom is. There are some places where people don't understand. Because here, there is a history of kings. And people know what a king is. Okay? In a kingdom, the word of the king is a law. The king is not subject to parliament, parliamentary approval, budget, what? No. That is a democracy. In a kingdom, the word of the king is what? Is the law. He can change it, he can give it, he can change it, he can do anything. And also some people think, expect God to act like a president, yet he's a king. That's why you say, I've given you this land forever to all your descendants. And there's nothing you can do, he's the king. You see, eh? So Iran comes and says, we want to wipe Israel, then they get hammered. Like they were yesterday. Because the king said that is their land. And he's the one who made. So you have to understand that, and even here in our kingdoms here, in these kings here before, when they were absolute kings, before these Bazungu came and brought nations and all that. If, for instance, the Kabaka gave you a piece of land, the only thing you needed was a witness that he said it. That's all. Nobody would ask what was the basis for the Kabaka giving. You know, nobody asks him. He's the king. You see, eh? There is no parliament. There is no approval. There is no budget. Nothing. So if you please the king and he's happy and he can say, hey, I have given you the Saz of Bulemezi. Now, when you go to Bulemezi, all you need is somebody who was there when the king was saying. So you go with the witness. That's why the scripture says by the word of two or three witnesses, a word shall be established. All you need is a witness. So you go to Bulemezi and say, oh, this is my land. The Kabaka gave it to me. Who was there? This one was there. Are you sure he said it? He said it. End of story. Nobody knows what you did, why the king gave it to you. By the way, and even tomorrow you can take it away and give it to somebody else. Now, when you understand God is a king, you'll understand how things work. Okay? Because a king can favor whoever he wants to favor and says, I've favored this one. That's why he says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Then he says, but why would you? And then he's saying this before even Jacob was born and Esau was born. Before they were born, he said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Then he says, then Paul tries to explain, why did he, love Jacob and hate Esau. Then he says, who are you, man, to question him? You just shut up. He has decided that. He's the king. So he has decided to favor one and not favor the other. He's the king. Praise the Lord. Now, when you understand that the word of king is law, and it is absolute law, it's not questionable, then you know that in our kingdom, the only thing God gives us is his word. And his word has a witness. So he gives us his word, and his word has a witness. So you know that in this kingdom of ours, okay, let's say like 3 John verse 2 in KJV. 3 John verse 2. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, this is a very powerful methodology in our kingdom. In our kingdom, you can only prosper to the extent that your soul prospers. Praise the Lord. So every minute you spend prospering, your soul is not wasted. Because he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now let me tell you this. I'll give you an example of health. When somebody is sick and they have just gotten sick, you can actually pray for them and the sickness goes and goes and, you know, because the sickness was in their body. But if somebody has been sick of that sickness for, let's say, 10 years, it moves from their body to their soul. Then they start saying, you know, this sickness of mine, they are owning it. You see, eh? Then they say, I haven't taken my medication, my sickness. So you see, now they have owned it. It has become a part of them. Now you can't just lay your hands on them and pray for them and they get healed. You can't. Their soul has to first get healed before their body gets healed. You see? So you have to first deal with the soul and tell them, never say your sickness. It's not your sickness. It is the devil's sickness. Never say my medicine. Say medicine. Okay? When you're taking medicine, declare that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. First, detach yourself from it. Because as long as it is part of you, you cannot get healed. It's in your soul. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, your health is attached. So somebody says, I'm na manyo urade wa febu. Edagala yang. Umpe dagala yang. And you see, now when somebody starts talking like that, you know that he has owned the sickness and the sickness has owned him and the two have become one. He's married to the sickness. Now it's no longer just in the body, it's in the soul. But there is a way out of it. Now when he comes and takes, let's say, and says, now I am going to start detaching myself from this. And he starts declaring every day that by his stripes I was healed, even if he's still taking medicine, you see, eh? You see now some people go and hurry and stop taking medicine and then they bring problems for themselves. No, even as you're still doing what you've been doing, because you are first declare. After some time, the sickness starts becoming a bit of a distance away from you. And it's no longer in your soul. Now there it's easy to get healed because your soul has prospered or has healed. Amen? Now that is the same as poverty. There are people who poverty is inside them and they are inside it. And they don't expect to ever have abundance because that has never been their experience. And now when you come to this kingdom, you have to learn that here we serve a God of abundance. Amen? You say that has not been my experience. It's okay. Get into the word of God and meditate on those things. Meditate on abundance. Say that even if I've never seen anything extra, I always have either less than enough or enough. But today I'm going to start meditating. After some time, that meditation starts giving back to something. Now your soul prospers. And then your pocket prospers. Praise the Lord. For the most part, I can tell you, people are poor in their souls. That's where the most poverty lies, in the soul. Praise the Lord. Now they are trying to work it out in the spirit, I mean in the pocket and what. And even if they were to give you a lot of money, it will not change you as long as your soul is still there. As long as your soul is still down there, that's exactly where you will be. But in this kingdom, there our laws are this simple. Now, you don't try to. Now, and there are people who actually are so loyal to the system of the world. I remember I told some guy who was doing well and wealthy at the time and so on. I told him that you man, he was born again. I told him, you know what? You are not going to excel the way you are supposed to excel on the system of this world. You are not. Leave the system of this world. There is some big prosperity that is there, but it cannot be achieved. Because the world was created, that system was created to frustrate you, to make life hard for you. You see, eh? So don't try to make it better. The world does not want to be made better. It has its God. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. That the devil is the God of this world. The world doesn't. By the way, let me tell you, don't fool yourself that the world wants to be better. The people who came here and said they wanted to make the world better ended up becoming the worst people. Because they soon realized the world doesn't want to be made better. Amen? I recently I was seeing this, what's that man, the richest man in the world? No, Bill Gates is broke. He's just stealing people's money. Elon Musk. Now, Musk, he came and he thought that he's going to approach things with good intentions. But those are the people who turn out to be the worst people. Because they come with good intentions. I am going to save America. Eh? I'm going to save them. They are spending a lot of money. They hammered him. He ran away. He started abusing everybody. He even ended up saying now he wants to go to Mars. that's how the world is like. Even if you went to Mars, as long as it takes human beings there, it will be the same. There's not going to be a difference as long as there are people who are there and those people are here. So now the world does not want to be saved. Let me tell you, this world is messed up. Eh? You have no idea. The only person who could have seen it in its messed up form and still love it enough to want to save it is Jesus. That's why he's the savior. If you try, it will hammer you. And even him, it hammered him, but only he had enough love to still what? Love it after the people he's trying to save. But now you go and try to save people, and then they turn against you. And then you end up hating them. Now, unless Jesus gives you the grace to save a certain part of it and says, okay, now, later I'm giving you grace to save Uganda. Eh? I'm giving an example, don't clap. Amen? Now, with the grace of Jesus, it will not mess me up. Because I'm not coming as I am the example of. Uganda does not want to be saved. Only Jesus can give you enough grace so that even when you go there and they hammer you, you are. But now the other man, he ran away, he abused everybody, he did what? He turned. He was on Twitter abusing everyone. Because he realized, and now I've seen that there's this guy called, you remember Martin Luther, the reformer, eh? The German priest who started the Reformation. Martin Luther, after the Catholics had made them suffer a lot, you know, with the Catholic doctrine and so on, and at some stage it became very, very, very oppressive. By the way, I realized why Europeans eventually started hating religion. Because the Catholic doctrine became very oppressive. Any deviation away from the Catholic doctrine, they would burn you at the stake. You know what burning at the stake was? They tie you on a pole like this and they light fire from the bottom to burn you. And it starts from the feet. By the time it gets to the places where you'll die, I was seeing somebody calculating the other day on Discovery Channel, it would take you 23 minutes. Of being burnt to die. And they calculated it to maximize it. If they throw you in fire, you die immediately. So the pain is less. So they tie you and they put the fire. And the fire is not like a lot. It does not come to you. It stops somewhere where it's burning your feet and coming up, up, up. By the time the heat reaches the parts of the body where you die, you've been under that torture for 23 minutes. That is like an eternity. That's what they used to do. Now, after Martin Luther got a revelation when he read that the just shall live by faith in the year 1517, And then he was a priest in Germany. And then he went and hung on the cathedral and said, but no, why are we doing all this? Because people used to be told that your father is in purgatory, you have to work very hard and pay a certain amount of money so that he goes to heaven. And you'd look like a very, very bad son if you would be enjoying your life yet your father is where? In purgatory. So it was real torment. Now the Jews reject, and now the Catholics were trying to forcefully convert the Jews to Christianity. Forcefully. And the Jews resisted it. Now when Martin Luther resisted the Catholics, he went and thought that now, since we have all been suffering under the Catholics, that now I'm going to what? Let me go and convince the Jews that maybe now they will receive Christ. Now that, you know, we've managed to reform the church away from the Catholics. So he went there with a lot of intention, good intention, to save the Jews. And he went there and started preaching to them Christ. They rejected him so badly. So badly. And Martin Luther became the biggest Jew hater ever. He said the worst things about Jews. He says, you are the worst people ever lived. You the scum. No wonder you killed Jesus Christ. What he said, very, very bad things. Because he went there to save them. And they don't want to be saved. Unless God has sent you to them. You understand? Unless the Savior has sent you. You will never have the grace to say. Now. So he turned up. Actually, the words which Hitler was using to kill the Jews were mostly said by Martin Luther. But he went there with good intentions to heal the world. Make it a better place. It is not going to be a better place. It has, the scripture says, there is the course of this world according to the prince of the power of darkness, according to the devil. You understand? Now, what God wants is for you, you leave the world. You're going to be in it, but not of it. You see, that's what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of God is going to be established inside you. Inside you. Inside your heart. And then when it is established in your heart, it is spread to your life. And your life is a testimony to everybody. And they see that, how come when salaries are going down for yours is going up? How come you seem to be doing well? How come everything is moving in the opposite direction for you? And then you say, I am an ambassador. I do not belong to this kingdom. I belong to another one. Amen? And the laws that apply to me are the other ones. God will supply my need according to his riches in glory. Praise the Lord. Not according to where I am. Not according to the income around me. Not according to the budget which was read yesterday. Which they said their money. I was seeing the newspapers that money what? Money has, which money? It is a fake budget. And this country, we are expert pretenders, by the way. You know, we are very good at, we have been beaten so badly that we even know how to pretend. We are the expert pretenders. Sometimes I go to court and I see how people are pretending that we even have laws. And then they are saying, according to section what? And I'm looking at them saying, look at these guys. Now, the other day, I went to court for what? For these messages hearing. Because I know that the law says if somebody has been on remand for 6 months and the trial hasn't started, he's automatically supposed to be given bail. Automatically. That's what the law says. Okay? He says, any magistrate or judge he appears before after 6 months of being on remand is supposed to give him bail. So I went to see if we still have laws working in this country. Then I reached there and his lawyers read the law properly. This is what it says. It says, according to section this, according to what? Which is, you are mandated by the law to give him bail. But we know the law is the other old man in Entebbe. Because as long as he wants him there, he's not going to be released. So I was seeing the magistrate fidgeting. Okay, no. Now you see what? Which, are you sure 6 months are over? They said, yes. He came here the other day, now 6 months are over. I said, okay, what does the problem? And I'm saying, we are pretending. We are not a nation of laws. We are a kingdom. That's the truth. So you either belong to this kingdom of ours or you belong to this other fake kingdom. That's the truth. Because the laws don't apply. And we are very good pretenders. Now, I was seeing people pretending that this EPS was about road safety. And I said, they just want to steal money. These are just babby. But you see, Ugandans pretend, no. You see, it was introduced to where and road accidents reduced. And I just want to jump on their throat and say, when are you going to ever talk? But we are good at pretending. But we are in a kingdom. That's the truth. Amen? But thankfully, we are in a superior kingdom. And the other kingdom to which we belong might give us the grace. Anyway. But you see, he says, now, because the world has set itself in such a way that, and you see in 2 Timothy chapter verse 4, where he says, perilous times will come in the end. He says, because men will be, he says, times will be very hard. Why? Because men, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Why? For men will be. Now, what causes the times to perilous? Because the world is slanted this way because of climate change? No. What causes the world to be perilous is men behave in a certain way. And then he goes on to describe that this is how men are. And now some people don't realize. You see, if you're my age, you've seen how the world has slanted completely. I was telling my mother the other day that when I was in S1, 13 years old, I used to come from Kinyara in Masindi and travel by myself, sometimes through a long, long distance, not the one that you know. And I would arrive in Namiriango by myself. I would hitch a ride here, jump on what, do this, and somehow I arrive in school. So I was saying, now seeing that my children, who are much older, they are so... Then I was telling, how come for us we could do all those things? Then my mother told me, those days people were good. You'd ask somebody for direction and he says, hey, young man, where are you going? I'm going here. Then the world was good. People were nice. You see? Now, you can blame it on somebody, but scripture says in the last days people will become wicked, weird, lovers of self, breakers of covenants, and so on. All those things. And that's how the world becomes. Now, it's the men. Praise the Lord. It's the men. So even if you run to Mars, like Elon Musk is trying to do, some people have even said, I want to die. Now imagine, can you imagine, even Moses said, why did you put the burden of these people on me? Did I give birth to them? Then he said, let me just die. because people are difficult because the guys who you saved are the ones who turn on you, and now they are. Then he says, why did you put this burden on me? Then he says, if I have found favor in your eyes, just kill me. Let me end this ordeal. Now, you see, for him, he had the what? He had the grace to take Israel from there. But imagine people who are very ungrateful, very rebellious, very what? Now, when you want, you concentrate on making the kingdom of God entrenched inside your heart. That's why he says what Jesus said. The kingdom of God does not come through observation. The kingdom of God is in you. Now, when you learn that you can spend 1 hour a day building the kingdom and understanding how this kingdom works, because when you are born, you're taught about everything about this world. You see, you go to school, you learn everything, you learn the language, you learn, how to survive in this world. Now, when you get born again, you have to learn how to survive in the world in which you now live. And then you have to know that it will, you find resistance in places where you shouldn't have. And if you don't fight, they will trample on you. But Jesus expected you. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He expects you to overcome. And he says in 1 John chapter, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now that seems so simple. Our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Okay? Just our faith. This is the victory that overcomes all. Give me that here. 1 John chapter 5, I think verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So everything you believe about yourself, you believe about the world, you believe about how you're prosperous, that's you overcoming the world. So the world is there to tell you that you're not all that. And by the way, it is so good at that. Have you ever met somebody who has been hammered by the world? Especially girls. Amen? The world is harsh on girls, by the way. It's very harsh on girls. Okay, it's harsh on men also. But for us, we can over kind of handle. But girls are cautious about their body. They tell them, you tell them they don't have this. They are cautious. They say everything. And then you see, like, the whole world is around you just to put you down, to show you are not all that. It shows you through words, through experience, through the way people treat you, just to put you down. The purpose of it is to put you down. Amen? If you're tall, they will say you're too tall. If you're short, they will say you're too short. If you're dark, you're too what? Like, there is no escaping somehow. People, the world will find you somewhere and try to put you down. And I'm sure, this world, by the way, like, it really can try to put you down. But then, the victory that overcomes it is what you believe about yourself. That's why it's so important in this kingdom. So important, the time you spend constructing what you believe about yourself. Now, we've been talking here, and it was even playing here, about how I am rich. Okay? Now, you build that as your faith. That's the victory that overcomes the world. So, the world comes and says, you're broke. But somehow, you've been meditating on you're rich. You say, no, I'm rich. You're broke. No, I'm rich. But there's no money in your pocket. It doesn't matter. I am rich. That's what the word of God says. You're going nowhere. No, I'm going somewhere. And even the experiences in the scripture, but you see how, like, everything puts you down. Now imagine somebody like Joseph in the Bible. Your brothers are the ones to first fight you. Then you go, you find some small peace in the house of Potiphar. Then also there it hammers you. Then you end up in jail. Like, their world knows how to put you down. Like, it just puts you down and down and down. Until you have to wake up one day and what? And say, I am not going to be. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What I believe about myself. Now, you wake up in the morning, you go and work. That's okay. But as somebody in this kingdom, it's more important what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're believing. In this kingdom, the words, your success will depend on the amount of words of God that you have in you. Now, of course, we have advantages that those days people used not to have. For instance, you can have the word of God on your phone. The word can be the actual audio Bible, or it can even be preaching on your phone. Now, you think that is priceless in this kingdom, because it is going to change how you think. It is going to change everything about how you think, because the exposure, the level of exposure. Let me tell you, God gave us a blank canvas, with nothing on it, called our mind. Now, what we put there is what we are going to experience. Now, when you learn that simple truth, it's a very simple, elementary truth. If you sit down there and start imagining fake things on yourself, that's what you're going to experience. If in the midst of fakeness, you start imagining, I am rich, and you actually get carried away, I live in abundance, and so on, that is going to become the reality sooner rather than later. Now, that is how the kingdom of God operates. Now, it is what God was introducing Abraham to. You are going to be a father of many nations. But God, I don't even have a son. And somebody who is born in my house, a servant, is going to be inherit my... He says, no, he's not going to inherit it. Then he starts teaching him something. He takes him out and says, you see the stars in the sky? So shall your descendants be. Then he says, you see the sand on the sea? So shall your descendants be. Now, you say, God, why don't you just give him a son? Why? Watch your one for your story. Now, God is teaching him something, that you are the one who is supposed to manufacture that. It is up to you, not up to him. You understand? So now, by meditating on that, what he has given you, that picture, your body will defy age and so on. Simple, elementary, it will be told to you over and over again. That's how this kingdom works. It does not work the way the kingdom of the world works. That work very hard, save money, and do what? You try that and see. Try that and see. Try working hard and saving money. I remember when I used to believe in that, I saw some men of God laughing at some guy who was saving money to buy a car. And then they say he wanted to buy a car of 50,000. Then they laugh, then he's saving money. Then they laugh and laugh. I said, these guys, why are they so? My dear, you try saving $50,000. First of all, here, a salary of 20 million shillings is a good salary, isn't it? Now you try saving off that salary to buy what? A house. And that's even a good salary. I haven't even come down to yours. But somehow you want a house. Amen? Now, but you try 50 what? You go and to buy a house. Now, because how long are you going to save? You see, first of all, even without inflation, every commander you put aside will lose value. By the time you've saved 5 years, the money would have lost maybe 30% of its value. So it's like, praise the Lord. So you have, that's when you realize this kingdom is not meant for me. Because for me, I believe God, I'm going to live in my own house. But this side is not working. So I'm going to believe. I'm going to go into another thing. Then you say, in our kingdom, we go and see the house that we want. And go and say, this is the house that I want. In our kingdom, we buy without money. Isaiah 55. You know that scripture? It says, come and buy without what? Without money. Your meditation is stronger than money. So in our kingdom, you go and look at a house and say, this is my house. This is the house I want. Amen? And then you start meditating. And then you put it in front of your eyes like Jacob. Praise the Lord. And then you become like Abraham. You give birth to it when nobody thought you could give birth to it. So you live in a house which is worth probably half $1 million on a salary of what? On your salary, which I'm not going to say. Praise the Lord. Anyway, my point is this. If you try to follow the kingdom, the course of this world, that course is messed up. There is nothing good there for you. Nothing. Nothing. It will never work. It will never work. It is pitted against you. It was put there purposely to frustrate you. Now, there are ways you can flow with it. But there you have to really get into it and become, really worldly like them. Eventually, you might have to sell your soul. Because the owner of that world is the devil. But Jesus expects you to be on top of him. You see? That's why he says, I've overcome the world. So you have overcome it too. So you're supposed to be superior to it. In that world, as I've told you before, everything operates on the basis of buying and selling. That's the world, the course of this world. Everything operates on the basis of buying and selling. There is nothing that is not bought, and there is nothing that is not what? Sold. Even professionals, if you go and hire a lawyer, he's selling you his knowledge, which he bought by paying for university fees. So he bought and he's selling it to you. So even if it's professional, everything is buying and selling. But I don't know how is it convincing people that in our kingdom, it is not run on buying and selling. The kingdom of God is run on sowing and reaping. And now when I say sowing, so many people think I'm talking about sowing money. That's even not what I'm talking about entirely. But that's why I told you, wake up in the morning and you sow a seed inside your spirit of I am rich. What we've been doing throughout this year. And you do not get weary of well doing, the scripture says. You're sowing something inside yourself. Okay? And that is a very serious seed. After some time, it will sprout and it will come to pass. And the scripture says, if you do not faint, if you faint not, because so many people faint. Galatians 6, what? 9. Let us not grow weary of well-doing. For if in due season, there is a due season. So when you're confessing, and you're confessing things, in this kingdom, the scripture says, Psalms 68, the Lord issued a word, and great is the company of those who proclaim it. The Lord gave a word. That's what he does. He gives you a word. There it is. Now let's see what you are going to do with that word. He gave a word and says, great is the company of those who proclaim the word. Then he says, he sent his word. First get us the one of Psalm 68. Great is the company. What? The Lord gave a word. Psalm 68, I think verse 10 or something like that. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who published it. Now in our kingdom, God gives the word. Just that, I've given you the word. Now it is up to you what you do with it. You can use that word to construct anything you want from that word. Because as I've told you before, the word of God comes with the power of God. Amen? The power to make that thing come to pass is in the word. Because the word is a seed. You know what the Bible says? The word is a seed. Okay? Now, just like the seed has the ability to bring forth any tree, anything, it's there. And not just one tree, so many trees. A seed of a mango has the ability to give birth to 100 acres of mangoes. It just has to be in the right ground and given some time. Amen? Now, the word is the seed. So the Lord has issued a word. Okay? Great is the company of those who... Now, when you understand in our kingdom, we deal in words of God. This is what we deal in. Then you know that when you're sitting and you're discussing things with your friends, you can make your way successful or you can make your way not successful. And I told you that two Tuesdays ago from Psalms chapter 1. Okay? Let's read Psalms chapter 1 again. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, or in his word, he meditates day and night. Okay? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, this is how our kingdom works. These are very basic things which I've taught you before if you've been here, but this is how our kingdom works. That you, the word, the success that you'll have will be equivalent to the amount of word of God you have. But you have a phone which can have a Bible app, but you're going to use it to watch TikTok videos and so on. And yet if you just gave it 30 minutes a day, you are connecting now to the kingdom. You're connected to the power of this kingdom. Just 30 minutes of I'm going to listen to a word. It can even be a word of preaching. It can be an actual word. Okay? Praise the Lord. The other day I started reading the Psalms through. And I said I'm going to read five Psalms every day. Now I wake up, read the Psalms. I am storing this. Whatever he does. Now, how long does it take to read five Psalms? I'll tell you, sometimes it's not even 10 minutes. Maybe 15 minutes. Unless you're reading Psalms 119. But for the most part, it's like 15 minutes. Just reading the Psalms and concentrating, putting my focus there. But you see now, I am being a proper citizen of this kingdom. Before I go and start doing other things, what I'm doing, I first do that. Now he says, whatever he does shall prosper. Then Joshua 1:8. Nothing new I'm telling you, but just Joshua 1:8. I want you to see that this is all up to you, not up to God. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, notice God does not say he's making your way prosperous. It is you For him, he gave you the word, or the law in this case, and says, now you just meditate on it. You will make your way prosperous. There is nothing that can stop you from being prosperous if you do that. If your mind is full of his word. There is nothing, even if governments change and what, there is what, there is nothing. Because this kingdom to which you belong is superior. And it can never be affected by anything that happens in this world. If this enters you, and the word enters, and you say, so shall you make your way successful. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't, as long as it is, so shall you make your way successful. There he says, whatever he does shall prosper. And all this has nothing to do with God apart from giving the word. It has everything to do with you and the law. Okay? The law of the land, the law of the kingdom to which we belong. Praise the Lord. Now, you are going to try and do all sorts of things because you've seen other people doing them. And you'd even go on what? In churches where people are not preaching. They are or counseling. But even counseling is supposed to be like scripture. If somebody says they are counseling and they don't know the Bible, what are they counseling? There was a ministry of a counselor in the Bible. And there is, you know, that guy, David's counselor, whom the Bible says that his counsel was like somebody had inquired of the oracle of God, where he's a minister. He has the ministry of counseling. When he counsels you, it's like you've spoken to God. But now you have people who are counseling you and telling you rubbish. And there is no word value. And then you go to church and there are things preached which have no word value. Zero word value. And they are not going to benefit anybody whatsoever. Nobody whatsoever. Without the word of God, there is no power. You're going to tell people things. And I remember one time that some guy came and was preaching. Some apostle. A powerful man of God. He said, Banang, wavu, no. Wavu. I said, Banang. Then at the end of the sermon, you feel very sad because of Obavu, but he has not told you how to get out of it. Okay, we know it's bad. Let me tell you, nobody knows it's bad more than those who are in it. So they don't need you to tell them how bad it is. It's like you go to hospital and somebody is sick and you start telling him, but I've read the room. Everyone looks at you and says, what's wrong with you? Are you the one who is sick? So now, all they need is to be told, how do we come out of it? Now, the trouble is that some people want it to happen overnight. And those are people who are going to be broke all their lives. Because they are waiting for the time when you can plant a seed in the ground and then you harvest the next day. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You understand? You have to... And there are people who are in a hurry. And you're in a hurry going nowhere. You're going around the same mountain like this. Let me tell you. This, our kingdom, you can walk in total superiority to every circumstance that is around you. And it prescribes peace when everybody is in turmoil. People are worried, in the end, especially now in the end time. It says that men's heart will fail them for the fear of the things that are coming. And then this, for you, are very confident. You're saying things confidently. Huh? And the people in the world, by the way, their world is run on fear. 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 Okay? That's why he says he held in bondage. People who are held in bondage, the devil held them in bondage by the fear of death. Amen? So they're scared to die. The fear of death. Now that's the first thing that God takes away. Like when you get born again, the first thing that goes away is there's no fear of death. Because even though you can't die. Okay? Now Jesus said, whoever believes in me, my Father will come and what? I and my Father will come and have an abode in them. Now that's how the kingdom of God works. Where you, inside you is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now you have to just spread him around. Now the more you spread him, the more the world sees him, and the more you be totally different, and the more people realize the laws that govern that kingdom do not govern. That govern the world, not govern our kingdom. Then you realize, there are so many things, by the way, let me tell you which. If we learned that we have to go to school, this is real school of learning the kingdom of God. In a matter of 1 year, let's say by June next year, everything would have changed in your life. Everything. I mean, if you actually just did this simple thing, just 1 year. Now, how many years are you? How many years have you grasped? Now I'm giving you a sure deal. But you have to stay the course. Because people get bored very fast. And that's the nature of these days. People want things fast. Just start getting a word every day. Putting some word inside you. And the Bible says that what? It talks in Timothy about people who strive over words which have no profit. Okay? Get me that scripture. People striving over words which have no profit. Because there are words which have profit. And then there are words which don't have profit. Imagine Jesus says that my father will come and make our home in you. And you have Jesus and God inside you. And you think that this world can affect you. It will not affect you because you've subjected yourself to it. But if you refuse to subject yourself to it, it will not affect you. You will be totally different. Nothing that the world goes through will you be going through. You will just look at them. Now there is, you know how they are planning another pandemic. They are planning another pandemic. The vaccine is already ready. bad you people. And people, I told people, and now they are dying of that thing, and nobody says, they keep quiet, all of them. They're having multiple organ failure and what. But I thank God I did what I was supposed to do. Praise the Lord. I did what I was supposed to do. I went to Serena, organized the press conference, got these bloggers, and warned people, don't take that COVID vaccine. Don't. Some of you were too clever, you took it. But now, by meditating on the word, the effect of it can even vanish. Amen? There is nothing to worry about. Like, in this kingdom, there is no worry. You wake up knowing that there is security from your kingdom called angels who walk with you. And when you become conscious of it, you know that there are certain things which can't happen. Praise the Lord. There are certain things which come, and you know that something happened there. There's something there which I didn't understand, but there was an angel involved there. And there's security permanently on you as an ambassador. Have you ever seen an ambassador without security? Permanently on you, and not just on you, even on your house. But because you've not internalized this thing, you go fearing, you know. This. I remember one day I used to stay in the house there, and I would stay alone. I would walk with the key. And sometimes I would do anything. One day I put the key here, and somebody came and told me, remove the key from there. People might think you have a prison at home. And I know, and he said in Uganda, it sounded worse in Uganda. You know, like somebody, you're walking with the keys of your house here, but you really look like a joker. Now, but then one day I was leaving home and it crossed my mind that, what if they attack? What if they come and rob you? Then I realized, no, that's the devil trying to play games. So I said, no, my home is protected. Nobody can rob me. And, and then, anyway. Praise the Lord. How many times people wanted to come and kill me in that car place? It was a very open place. People wanted to come and kill me. There's a friend of mine who woke up one morning, very early in the morning, the guy called me. And he was in panic. I said, what's wrong? He said, I dreamt when two big kanyamas had come or entered your house, come in your bedroom, and they had strangled you. Praise the Lord. Not for strangling me, but because I'm still here. But you see, he prayed about it. He saw it and the Lord showed it. When the Lord shows you something, it's because he knows you can handle it. So he prayed about it and it did happen. But I know it was going to happen because I knew who was going to send those kanyamas. I knew very well. And I knew who I was having a quarrel with. And I used to love, man, I used to have quarrels. Like I would never let a good quarrel go to waste. When there are people quarreling, I had to come there and what? And partake. Because I... And man, I know it's like it's almost like an addiction. You want a good argument. You're looking for somebody to devour, like somebody to argue, to argue with. and you don't know that you're wasted. You don't know that you're wasted. Somehow you're enjoying your infamy. Until the Lord arrested me one day and told me something. Anyway, so he says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit. Now, which are to the ruin of the hearers. Now, I can tell you that there is a lot of talk which goes on, even on pulpits, which is words to no profit. Now, there are words which I'm telling you now which have profit. If you go and do them, there is profit. And God expects you to have what? But there are words to no profit. Somebody comes and tells you something, and you get angry, and then you start striving. And you know, words have a way of getting you to strive. Then you start striving. What, you know, can you imagine this person? What, you know? Somebody was telling me that somebody did something small. And it's just, can you imagine this? You know, God help me forgive them. What? I said, what did the person do? They did this. I said, like, you mean, so you're going to block your what? Because, no, but it was wrong. That's what words to no profit. And you strive. Now I'm telling you something. When the scripture says meditate, and when I start meditating, I'll tell you this. One day, I was walking. I've told this story before. From my house there where they almost strangled me. It was up to somewhere near here. And I was going to, up to some sauna I used to go in Muyeng. So I decided to take a walk. So, and I was, there are so many things on my mind. I was in debt. And people were disturbing me and what. Man, life wasn't good. There's nothing. Life is not good when what? You're in debt. So I was walking and I'm thinking, where am I going to get this money? What am I going to do? Then suddenly, a scripture landed inside me. Romans 8:32. I'll never forget. And it says that he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us, delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So I started imagining, he who did not spare his only son. Now I started striving over this word. Now this is what they call striving. So I started imagining, what was God thinking when they were spitting on Jesus, putting thorns on him, and he's the all-powerful God. And he's seeing what they are doing to his son. But he did not do anything. And even Jesus did not do anything because of me. That's how much he loves me. I say, if he could do that for me, give his only son, how can he not pay this debt? Now, I was actually striving over words to profit. So I'm meditating and I'm really getting... I'm teaching you how to really make the word. And I got myself completely worked up because I also have a son. I had a son that time, I have two now. So I started imagining, if I was the one and I was all powerful, and they start doing that to my son, would I just be there because my son is saving some people, you know? Like I started thinking, what was God thinking? What was he going to? Even Jesus said, if I wanted, I would call and they would bring, and there would be 12 legions of angels here. But also him is just, I said, this is how much he loved me, that he had to go through all that humiliation. Then I said, how can he not pay my debts? Now I started working myself up. So I went up to the sauna. And then even when I was inside the sauna, I was thinking about that. I said, but no, there is no way God can let me drown in debt. Yet he actually gave me his son. what would his son be worth? So I worked myself up. I want you to know that I got excited over nothing, over the word of God. You understand? I worked myself up. I worked myself up. I said, no, there is no way I can stay in this. I'm telling you, I got home, I slept on that word. I woke up on that word. He would not spare his only son, but gave him up for me. How shall he not give me this money? How shall he not give me what I want when he gave his son? Is there anything that would be valuable more than his son? Is there anything that would be valuable to me more than my son? If I had a bank account and you say we are taking your son, would I not say take the money and leave my son? So I'm thinking all these things. Now, that I'm striving over words that have a profit. Praise the Lord. Now, I did it. And eventually, I can tell you what, I don't know what happened to the debt. And now when God does, I told you this, when he does something, you just don't know when it happened. Because the next thing I knew, I had paid all the debt. I had no debt. Then the next thing I knew, and I was still thinking about that thing. I stayed on that word. The next thing I knew, I had a lot of money left over and no debt. And I was even saying, what am I going to use this money for? You know when you're used to being broke? No, honestly, like, you know, you wake up and you have, and I'm going to say, do you know what it meant to wake up and you have 2 million shillings on your pocket and there is nobody akubanja? I was like, what happened to me? Is this me? You even have to pinch yourself. Is this me? Because you would be there. You're saying, should I pay this one first or the other one? Then the one who calls you the most is the one you what? Is the one you pay. Now, the one who is angry, now there is one man, a very good man, even pastor. He was called to come here. He was a man who was a very good. For him, he's not over me. So even when I would be having his money, I would even ask him for more. Now, when I know this word. So, but I meditated on scripture. Now, this scripture here, took away my debt. It took away my debt. Now, there are so many others that you can get, which, for me, this one, I can promise you, as the Lord is my witness, this scripture took away my debt. I woke up one day and I had money and there was nobody I had to pay. Every bill was cleared. And then I decided that, you know what I'm going to do. Since everything is, you know, when you're used to being also. So I said, you know, since I have every bill paid, let me go and package this thing as a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. So I went and got, it must have been like 5 million. So I said, I'm going to package this and give it as a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. So I went and I said, God, thank you. Finally, I am like, I'm also me, I can also be there and there is nobody who is calling me for money. I'm not scared of my phone. So I gave it. Praise the Lord. Then I gave it. Then either the next day or the day after, I was seated in my office somewhere. The first person who came to see me brought me 20 million. The other part, by the time the day was over, I had money in these socks, in the other socks. Like, and God was just saying, not yet. Like, I remember I didn't even have a wallet. Because what would it be for? Because every money just used to go through me. Eh? But I was meditating on the word. I was learning how this kingdom operates. Praise the Lord. I was learning how our kingdom operates. I was meditating on the word. Now, I actually didn't have a wallet. So, when I went to eat food somewhere, I ate food and took some my cappuccino. Then I wanted to pay. Then I held here, and the notes were too big. So I put them back. Then I held here, they were too big. Then I held here. Then there was some guy who was looking at me. And now he looked at me and said, but you guy, man. Like, I remember, he was fascinated. He said, how did you get to this? Because he had seen me the other day. Do you know how I got there? Romans 8:32. The word of God has power. Praise the Lord. I ate that word. I said, no, I'm tired of that. If God gave me Jesus, He cannot fail to give me money. Praise the Lord. Can he? So, now, I would get scared sometimes even of them. Then I finally bought a wallet. Then I went to my bank account, which I used to have, and they had closed it for the lack of activity. Oh my God. I went there. It was here in DFC, this DFC. So I went there. I said, no, we closed it. They had closed it for like 6 months. Like zero activity. Now I find I had money to put in the account. There was no account. Praise the Lord. So I had to go and what? Fill out forms to start an account again. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32. Now it can be any other scripture. The word of God. God gave us the word to solve all our problems. The word comes with all his power. All his power is vested in his word. You just do that word and you'll see the power. It's vested. Now, that's what they call striving over words which have a profit. Now, when you go and say, like, the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and he adds no sorrow. Amen? Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow. Then you say, then you go to Ephesians 1, verse 3, and say, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So I'm blessed. That's what the word says. And the blessing makes me rich. Then you start striving over those words. You say, but okay, right now my experience does not say rich. But the word of God says rich. So I am going to believe the word. And every day, you speak it. You speak it. You speak it. You speak it. There's somebody I told on ARVs. Every day you're taking them. Have scriptures you're going to use. Say, Matthew 8:17. He took all my infirmities and bore all my sicknesses. As you take your medicine, okay? After some time you'll see. Because you're getting your, you just keep on saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. Praise the Lord. And then you see. So you go and take your medicine. You take your medicine, you proclaim. By his stripes I was healed. He took my infirmities. Matthew 8:17. Saying, he himself took my infirmities and bore all my sicknesses. So you just say that. That is the word of God. Amen? And you, as you do your thing. Now, of course, don't force, like, just take your time, take your time. Even if it takes 2 years, you've been taking those ARVs for how long? Eventually, the word of God comes to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen? Eh. I can tell you, my deaths did not go in 1 week or even 1 month. It took a bit longer than that, but they went. Eventually, they went. If I had not strived or strove, is there a word strove? Eh? It is strived. Strove. Can I you? Which word is it? Strived. Are you sure, you guys? Man, anyway, who here would know English? Anne, is it strived or strove? Eh? You know, it depends if you read KJV. KJV has English, which is interesting. Do you know KJV? There's a scripture when it's talking about men. Eh? It says that there was over 7,000 people. Like what? Who pisseth on a wall. Talking about men. I say, this is KJV. It's there. It's there in the scripture. I said, man. KJV has weird English. Even says fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But in primary, you say fishes, the teacher will what? Will give you chibok. Fish has no plural. Anyway, praise the Lord. So, striving over words which have profit. These words of God. Strive, it's not easy. It's easier to strive on what, you know, after the budget was over, what Museveni said, what over who, what who tweeted what, you know that crap, eh? And you strive, it has no profit. The profit is here. Glory to God. So if you can change the things that actually occupy your mind in your free time, man, you will see a difference in everything. In everything. Amen? That's why you see what it says, whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. Everything you do will prosper. Like a tree planted by the river. Everything he does will prosper. That does not, its leaves never wither. Praise the Lord. Now, here we are here to teach you the word of God. As I'm finishing. The word of God. There is no kobudi here. Yeah. Somebody sent me a message of a Nigerian man of God. I listened for like 2 minutes. Me, I'm looking for where is the Bible? If there is no Bible, it's you're striving over words to no profit. You can even be a minister saying over what, over this, if there is no scripture or no revelation, you're wasting your time. It doesn't have the power to do anything. The power to change your life is in these words of God. So I listened, I wanted to see what the message was. It wasn't a bad message, but it wasn't scripture. It was the kingdom of this world. Save, you know, don't live beyond your means. Save, do what, achieve what. Some nice advice. But I was looking for him to see where it says, what it says in the Bible. Nothing. So I switched off. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what I'm here to tell you. There's a lot of words out there which you listen to every day. Unless, of course, you're listening to them for entertainment, which I do. I listen to political stuff, but if I really want to, I'm looking for where is the word? Who is giving me a word? And I never get tired of listening. Even if I know what the scriptures they are using, I'll listen to it over and over again, over and over again. And then I'm there listening, taking my coffee. And I'm listening to Kenneth Hagin in the background. He's teaching the word. And I'm taking my coffee. Amen? And I'm sowing. That's how this kingdom operates. Praise the Lord. So do not be deceived. The course of this world is going to remain the course of this world. The world does not want to be saved. Like you just save your soul and live a life which is example, like an ambassador. Even if you're an ambassador of America and you go to Burundi, they will pay you according to the American salary scale, not according to the Burundi salary scale. Your lifestyle will be what it is. You understand? Eh? So now our purpose is to be ambassadors here, and we live according to his riches in glory, even in amidst poverty. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay. Now, I want to tell you this, everybody. Slowly, because we're having new people, slowly as time goes, we are going to be teaching different things about how to, dominion in this kingdom and so on. And then we shall also be teaching end time. So we shall be having theme Fridays, sometimes end time, sometimes business and dominion, but basically teaching where you come and know. Today we are teaching about how do you do business in this kingdom? How does business thrive in the kingdom we are? You know, there are very serious principles of business in the Bible. Amen? And if you apply them, you will succeed. There is no chance of you failing. Just like I told you, there are serious principles of marriage, of prosperity, of business, of everything is in the scripture. Now we shall be having theme, we shall be communicating our theme, whatever. Sometimes we shall be talking about the end time, because I see we've entered a very interesting time, because I saw the other day yesterday Israel bombing Iran's nuclear facilities. That is a fulfillment of a Bible prophecy, and we are going to see how it is going to unfold. And we've been talking about that for a while. So this is end time means, and we are going to actually be having theme time. We shall even be having a conference, end time conference, quarterly. Here, end time conference quarterly here. So that we can teach real end time. I want us to understand the times in which we live, and then we understand how we are supposed to live in them. Praise the Lord. So now, a lot of the times, some not all the time, would I be teaching about, you know, living in the Lord. Other times we shall be discussing the end time and so on. And that is that's my core ministry. So we shall be arranging that, and we shall be communicating with you. Praise the Lord. And our evangelism is still going on. So tomorrow we shall be doing some evangelism. Just going and informing people about this place so that they come and we teach them how to survive and thrive in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. In the kingdom of God, there is no survival, there is thriving. How they are supposed to thrive in the kingdom of God. Be they farmers, be they businessmen, be they workers, and all sorts of things. They are prescribed methods that they are supposed to thrive in this kingdom. So, the evangelism is going to go on. And tomorrow. Is anybody who is sick who wants us to pray for him for anything? Hey, come. What are you sick of? What are you sick of? Eh? Okay. Anybody who is sick, just come forward. We pray for you. Come. Who has fibroids? Who has fibroids? Uh-huh. Now we are going to lift up our hands and pray for all these people. And next week you have to come and testify. Okay? And there's something else I want to pray for, which I feel led to, which is a problem for some people. The issue of extremely painful periods. Painful, very painful period. You don't have to come forward, but we also want to pray for that. So if you have issues with painful periods, just believe God for your healing, and believe God that, just believe God today, your next time it will not happen. I also want to find out how many people were having demonic dreams at night. Because last week how many people were having issues of night visitations which were of a demonic nature?
My brother came last week and you prayed for people where something was chasing them every night. He testified today. I think he was supposed to come. I don't think he made it. But he sent in his testimony. He said it used to happen very frequently, and ever since last Friday, he hasn't.
Okay. Okay. If there are people who still have those, whatever, you come and we pray for you, those nightly visitations of a demonic nature. We come and we cancel them, and they will not happen again. Okay, now I want us to stretch our hands and pray for all these sick people and speak healing upon them. If you are not in one accord with us, don't raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm going to issue something bad on you, because you know there are people who, you know, somebody's there, and I sensed it the other time. Somebody who is of a different spirit was pointing in the other direction, and was actually even putting up the left hand. Put up your right hand. Put up your right hand and point towards them and speak healing to them. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you because your word says that you bore all our sicknesses, bore our infirmities, and carried all our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took our infirmities and bore all our sicknesses. Now, therefore, we come to you in the name of Jesus, believing that these people are healed by your stripes. By your stripes they are healed, because you bore all our sicknesses and infirmities, so that we may not bear them ourselves. Now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon each and every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. What's your name? Joel. Okay. I want to specifically point you out to Joel and speak healing upon every part of his body. In the name of Jesus, speak healing upon every part of your body in Jesus' name, and we rebuke that sickness in Jesus' name, and I command it to come out of your body right now in Jesus' name. Right now in the name of Jesus, and the healing power of God reaches out and touches you, Joel, and transforms your story, and you shall come and testify of what the Lord has done for you in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, fibroids, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Now, Linda, I want you to rebuke them, rebuke the fibroids, and command them to come out in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, point your hands here, command them to come out in Jesus' name, and decree in the name of Jesus that from this day onwards, they start coming out, and they come out, and they go, and they do not come back in Jesus' name. Now, the hand of God touches you, Linda, and changes everything about those fibroids, that they dry up and they come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. What's your name? Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, Daisy here has diabetes, and she has fats on the liver. Okay? Amen? First, put your hands down. How many people are ready to believe her that she's healed today? That the healing power of God is here to touch her. She's called Daisy. So now, lift up your right hand and speak healing upon Daisy in the name of Jesus. The hand of God touches you, Daisy, to heal you. Because Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. And therefore now in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that diabetes in Jesus' name. And I rebuke that liver issue in the name of Jesus. The healing hand of God touches you and turns around your story in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And you shall continue to confess that I am healed. Say I'm healed. Give me the microphone. Yeah, hold it. Say I'm healed. Say I'm healed. Hallelujah. So how many of you believe she's healed? Say she's healed.
I'm healed.
Say she's healed.
I'm healed.
Say Daisy is healed.
I'm healed.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What's Alfred? Gastric ulcers. Okay. Now, do you want to command them to dry up right now?
Yes.
Gastric ulcers. Eh? This is no place for gastric ulcers. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this is no place for sickness. Now, Alfred, in the name of Jesus, the hand of God touches you in Jesus' name and causes healing in your stomach. And I rebuke those ulcers in the name of Jesus. And we together in one accord with everybody here decree that you are healed. The healing hand of God touches you and will lift up your stomach and every part of your body unto the Lord, and we say, come Lord Jesus Christ and work a work in Alfred and turn around his story, that there shall not be a story of ulcers anymore. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Rebbe Kuro Bashokria Barazito. Silemakrasito Bishokromo. And neither shall there be the story of lactose intolerance. In the name of Jesus. Rika Masharomazon Toro Shalom. Rika Razatarabashilo Morozito. Now the power of God touches you and you're healed in the name of Jesus. You're healed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say, Alfred is healed. Say it again.
Healed.
Say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For healing Alfred.
For healing me.
Amen. Amen. Who has lactose intolerance? Who can't take milk? Somebody here that has an issue with. Okay, so what we are committing your unborn child and yourself. You carry the child full term, and the hand of God is upon you in the name of Jesus, and upon that child in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And now from this day onward, your pregnancy is going to have no troubles whatsoever. Zero troubles in the name of Jesus, all the way until a normal birth in Jesus' name. Because the hand of God covers you, and we cover you and the unborn child in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we what's your name? Kathy. And we decree it is well with you, Kathy. It is well with you, Kathy. It's well with your unborn child, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Kathy, and for a smooth pregnancy, the rest of the pregnancy and delivery, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guy, you made small things, man. So evangelism, please, let me tell you, just go and invite somebody. Tell them we have tea, but also we have the word. Praise the Lord. Fellowship, it's fellowship, you see. It's not just listening to the word, it's fellowship. So ask them to come and we enjoy a cup of tea together and cappuccino. We are going to get a coffee machine so that we can have proper cappuccino, and you know, yeah, and we look like serious guys. praise the Lord. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person here, and I thank you for every offering that your children have brought into your house, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you because you multiply them. I thank you because they are connected to the grace of this kingdom, of the kingdom that multiplies, the kingdom that defies everything that is of this natural world, and that amidst any gloom or doom, everyone here thrives. They thrive, they grow, they mature, and their finances are multiplied in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gaba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.